The whole series, we've been looking at this one verse. It's found in Matthew 16, 24. It's what kind of led us to do this series. Jesus is speaking, and he said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, which we're kind of looking at this as like a trinity right here. Give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. So we're kind of looking at like Jesus when he said, like, not my will, but your will be done, Father. Not our way, but his way. And then we take up our cross just like Jesus took up his cross. And today we're going to kind of discover that to follow God, you have to have the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to kind of dig into what it looks like and how it feels to know and see and maybe what the Holy Spirit is and maybe what the Holy Spirit isn't. Would you guys just help me do this? I got 30 minutes on the clock to explain everything I know about the Holy Spirit. I need all the help I can get. Let's just pray. Father God, speak to us. Speak to hearts today. Lord, as we open your word, may you just reveal Jesus through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So the Trinity is not complicated. I don't know if you guys realize this, but you are a Trinity. You are a trifold being. You are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. So really, the connection to God as a Trinity, it almost comes naturally to us if you really think about it. Like God as a trifold being, three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but yet they're all the same. It's three, but it's one. Like Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But oftentimes, because of a lot of reasons, we lose the Holy Spirit in the whole thing. So raise your hand if you come from a Baptist, particularly Southern Baptist or Presbyterian or more traditional church background. Raise your hand if that's you. All right, good, good. If that was your first time raising your hands in church, I want to congratulate you. And I want to encourage you to do it next week during worship, okay? I got you on that. All right, now, if you come from a more Pentecostal, charismatic, full gospel background, raise both hands, give me a little praise dance, all right? All right, because we have two extremes. And then there's a third. If you have never been to church and you don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, don't raise your hand, but you are in a great place because you don't have an extreme view of anything. You have a great opportunity to learn the true Holy Spirit today, and that's my prayer today. Because there's a good chance that if you came up in some churches that they didn't even talk about the Holy Spirit. And then there's another chance that if you came from a more Pentecostal side, that's all they talked about. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what he does for you. And it becomes a lot about you and not as much about Jesus. But yet at the same time, we can't just forget about the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you this, too. We are a non-denominational church. This means that we don't subscribe to this one or that one or that one. We kind of just like to stay Bible-based. But if I'm going to be honest with you, we're more of a charismatic church. And what that means, the word charismatic means we're a life-giving church. Like, we are a live church. Like, if you want to go to a dead church, you got to go somewhere else because we are a living, breathing church here, right? Yeah, and that's what we're going to call a charismatic church. But I like to use this definition. I heard it from another pastor that we are a charismatic church that wears a seatbelt. And the seatbelt is the Bible, okay? The seatbelt is the Bible. Because as I studied the scripture and began to get ready to talk on the Holy Spirit, what I really found is that it isn't just a good idea, the Holy Spirit. It isn't an add-on bonus round that we can play if we want to. If you're a Christian, you know the Holy Spirit already. You've experienced the Holy Spirit. If you've ever felt this call, this draw from God, you have felt the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he is drawing you to Jesus. So today we're going to look at a couple verses to help us maybe understand the Spirit. Now, I really want to angle it in one direction. There's a lot of ways we could go on the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can go really deep, but I don't have the time to go really deep into every direction. So I want to take it in one direction, and I think it's going to help us all to walk out of here understanding how we can take the Holy Spirit, the third part of the trifold being of God, and we can really begin to see it active in our everyday lives. Okay, can we do that together?
Yes.
So we're gonna start in Romans 8, which is an interesting chapter in the Bible, because in Romans 8, Paul is talking about how to break free from sin. In chapter 7, which we're not going to read right now, he begins to tell us some things about sin, about his own personal life. Paul begins to get really honest, and he says, like, I have sin issues. Like, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I do want to do. Paul, in chapter 7, he's saying things like, I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it. Paul is saying things like, I want to do good, but I find myself doing evil. And then he says, that at the end of chapter 7, he says, I love God's way with all my heart, but I keep struggling with sin. That's the way he breaks it down. And he's presented a problem that maybe you have walked through too. Maybe you have dealt with something or you're dealing with something that you just cannot seem to break free from. Maybe it's something that you've dealt with for years. Maybe it's something that kind of you've taken on an identity and you just kind of just assume that it's just who you are. Or maybe it's just a pain in your life that's just always there and you have this issue, and maybe some people know about it, maybe no one knows about it, but it's like this sin issue that's constantly kind of driving your life more than you wish to admit it drove your life. And Paul, in chapter 8, is going to give us the solution to the problem. If you read the New Living Translation, which is what I'm going to be reading today, by the way, someone in our Wednesday night youth program left this Bible, and I want to thank them for it. I said, this is a nice Bible. So thank that student, whoever that is. Chapter 8, if you're reading out of the New Living Translation, it is titled, the title to the chapter is The Holy Spirit Frees Us from Sin. Let's just check out this verse because it's pretty amazing. Romans 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who are for those who belong to Christ Jesus. That's good. What that means is that we are not being judged yet because Jesus has taken on the judgment. We are not being condemned by Satan yet because something is happening. Because we belong to Christ Jesus. That's really good. But it keeps going. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Okay? Check out some things here if you didn't see it. The power of the life-giving Spirit is being pitted or versus the power of sin. The power of the Spirit, the power of sin. We're going to talk into this. We're going to kind of dig into this. And we're going to kind of find most of it is all going to be based out of Romans 8. So today you should go home and read Romans 8. It'd be great. It talks about the Holy Spirit 20 times, 20 to 22 times, depending on how you read your version. It mentions the Holy Spirit. And it mentions it because the Holy Spirit is how we are going to find ourselves walking away from sin and walking in the Spirit. It's a great Bible verse because I know as a Christian who has grown up in faith, and my mom and dad are sitting on the front row right here, and I'm so thankful that I grew up in church. But growing up in church, I heard a lot of fire and brimstone preachers. And I remember going to, I don't know why they made me go to this, but we went to this this thing where this guy was bashing every cartoon that I loved. Remember that, Dad? He was like, He-Man of the devil. Smurfs of the devil. And he just listed every cartoon I watched. I'm like, X. Because I knew when we get home, my dad was going to be like, you can't watch that show. That's of the devil. So I grew up. Now, there was nothing wrong with that, Dad. You guys were doing your best to raise us wild boys. So, but what it did is it began to instill something in me. it began to instill something that I honestly don't even know if I realized it, but that oftentimes, especially when I wasn't connecting to God, I was really trying to live out my life based on sinning and not sinning. What is a sin? What is not a sin? Is that a sin? Can I do that? Is that a sin? Can I watch that? Is that a sin? Can I listen to that? Hey, is this a sin? Can we do this? Is that a sin? I remember having full-on debates with people like, is this a sin? And they'd be like, no, that's not a sin. I think it's a sin. Anybody ever had a debate with someone on if it's a sin or not? It's a waste of time, okay? I'm gonna break it down. We're gonna read some more scripture. I'm gonna prove it to you, and then we're gonna find out some things about it, okay? If you're a Christian and you are spending your time focusing on your sin problem, and rightly so, I understand it, because God hates sin. And because God, like we just read the verse, like God's breaking us free from the power of sin and death. So it makes sense that we, like, if I have a sin issue, like I gotta work on it, I gotta get it out of my life. But the problem is the more we focus on it, the more we lose track of the Spirit of life-giving, walking with Jesus. We're losing that when we begin to focus on sin. And the more we focus on trying to get rid of our sin, the less we begin to focus on Jesus. You guys see the problem? And what happens is eventually we're just focused on sins. Hey, you're a sinner. You have this issue and you have this issue, and we're walking in this judgmental way. But Paul, Romans 8, 5, and 6, he continues on. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Amen. There's something about when we've set our minds on the Spirit that we begin to not walk in the ways of the flesh. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. There is a powerful way to live your life, and it's not to focus on your sin state, because it's really a state of sin that we're talking about here. We're not talking about individual sins. Like when it says that the Spirit controls your mind that leads to life and peace, it's talking about a way of seeing life that is different from seeing your sin nature and your sin habits only. And I feel like there's this powerful connection that is being made here, that if we can just download this, if we can just get this in us, that it is not about the individual sin as much as it's about disconnecting from the heart of God. Disconnecting from God's way is really where we begin to go way off path. I kind of look at it like this. Like in the Garden of Eden, they were walking and talking with God, and they disconnected from him. They began to walk away from him, and when they did, they disconnected from him and began to walk into sin. And I think we do the same thing in our lives. We disconnect from him, and then we realize, oh, I've lost the connection. And the great thing is, if we begin to look at it as a sin nature problem, not a sin individual sins, we will begin to see when we're disconnecting quicker. So watching ESPN is not a sin. But if I'm watching ESPN so much that I'm disconnecting from God, and I'm not walking in a close relationship with him because I am obsessed with sports, well, sports might actually be a sin for me. That's why James 4:17 says, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, to him, that is sin. In fact, next week, we're going to talk, Pastor Josh is going to be bringing a powerful message. You got to give me a little tease about what it is to walk in like a rest state, a Sabbath state. You know, when Jesus gave the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments was like, obey the Sabbath, keep it holy. And we're going to talk about what it is to rest in God and how sometimes you can get so busy in life that the busyness can become a sin. How can it become a sin, Derek? Because it disconnects you from God because you're so busy living out your life. Yeah. And next week, I'm so excited to start. It's going to be called, I wrote it down because I didn't want to mess it up. It's going to be, the new series is going to be called The Rest of Your Life. We're excited. You should come back next week for that. Our sin nature is the greater problem, not the act of sin. Stop trying to tell your neighbor what a sin is and start trying to tell your neighbor who his God is. Right? sin is the disconnect, but begin to talk about the hope that he has. I guarantee it's going to be a lot more effective when you begin to talk about the hope in Jesus. Come on. The love and peace and joy that's in him. The love that comes from God. Let's go to verse 9 real quick, just to kind of drive it home. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Jesus said a lot of things about the Heavenly Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But I love this verse because check it out. Let's go back to it because there's something I want to see here. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Heavenly Father is in you. And look at right here. The Spirit of Christ. This Spirit, same Spirit. Same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. This word pneuma. This breath of God, this wind of God that is flowing and moving across the whole earth. And it's moving in me and it's moving in you. I just need you to understand that the Holy Spirit is connected with God. Like they're all the same. In fact, if I may, I used to do kids ministry a lot. I grew up in teaching kids ministry. Kids ministry, right about in the middle, right about now, is when I would need to do an object lesson, okay? Because you guys are starting to lose it a little bit, right? So I got a little object lesson, okay? You guys mind if I do an object lesson? Take you back to kids' church days. This is ice, okay? This is dry ice particularly. And we're going to pretend that ice is the Heavenly Father. But technically, this isn't just ice. This is H2O, right? And in this state, it is a solid, right? But thank you for another state called water, right? This is the same H2O. There's nothing different in its form other than the fact that this is a liquid state, and this is a solid state. And then there's a third state. Anybody remember your science?
Gas.
Your gas. Yeah, yeah. So it comes in three states. It comes in a liquid state, a solid state. And I'm just going to, just to make it fun, Jesus is going to represent the water here. The Father God is going to represent the ice here. And when we take the Father or you take the Son, and when you put them together, you cannot help but see, and I love this right here. I'm so excited to do this. You cannot help but see the Holy Spirit because he's flowing and he's moving and he's doing what only he can do in our lives. And I'm hoping it doesn't blow up or anything right now. All right. I feel like Bill Nye right now, the non-atheist guy, though. I believe that the Holy Spirit is flowing and moving. I love this. In Genesis 1, you should check it out. It starts the Bible out by saying that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void. And then something happened. The Spirit of God began to hover. That's what verse 2 says. And when the Spirit of God begins to hover, guess what happens right after the Spirit shows up? Light shows up. And then God spoke light. But the Spirit came, then the light. You ever connected that? The Spirit of God, and then the light came. And I feel like this is us. Let's just look at God in three parts. God 1.0. All right, faith 1.0 is going to be the Heavenly Father. Like, hey, I believe in God. Raise your hand if you believe in God. Maybe you're not even sure. You're agnostic. You're like, maybe I believe in God. I'll take it, okay? I'll take it. And then God, faith 2.0 is going to be Jesus, all right? The water of life, Jesus. Faith 3.0 is going to be the Holy Spirit, and he is moving and flowing and active in this world. You want to know where Jesus is? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You want to know where the Holy Spirit is right now? He's in you, and he's in me, and he's moving in this world, and he's drawing hearts to him, and he's active. And I think it's amazing because when we get it right, we begin to see the Father. We begin to see the Son. And how do we see him? We see him through the Holy Spirit. That we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. He prays with us. He helps us pray. We don't really do a whole lot with the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we can forget about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is the active way God is moving on the earth today. Let me break it down another way, okay? Level one faith is like if you're single, okay? And you know that there are 7.7 billion people on this earth, and if half of them are women and half of them are men, that means 3.8 billion people of the opposite sex are living on this planet, and one of them is bound to be right for you. Amen? Where are my single people at? God, out of 3.85 billion people, can one just be for me, right? That's level one faith. Like, God, there's a lot of fish in the sea. Maybe one's for me, all right? Level two faith is when we accept Jesus into our hearts. It's when we begin to walk with him. Level two faith is saying, hey, I'm single, and God, I know you got a billion girls out there that, or guys out there, whatever it is, but I just am going to stop looking because I just love Jesus. I'm going to go after Jesus. I'm going to begin to walk with Jesus. And when you begin to walk with Jesus like that, you begin to walk into level three faith, which is walking with the Holy Spirit. And what happens is, and my mom can attest to this, when you begin to walk in the Spirit and you begin to just show the attributes of what it is to be an awesome man of God, an awesome woman of God, God will begin to bring the right person to you. Amen? The best way to find your significant other is going to be to just go after Jesus with everything you got. Yeah? That's the way it worked for me. I remember one time my mom... I was single. I'm going to get this out of here. This is scaring me. See it bubbling? I remember this one time my mom came to me and she said, and I'm going to mess this story up, Mom. I'm going to mess this up, Jamie. But she said, Derek, I was praying. The Holy Spirit told me who you're going to marry. I said, what? She told me who you're going to marry. I'm like, well, who is it? She's like, I'm not going to tell you because I feel like I want it to happen, you know, on its own, but I feel like God told me you're gonna marry. So I'm like, first question I have is she hot? I mean, no. I mean, is she holy? That's what I meant. Oh, I messed that up. Is she a holy mom? Is she holy? And she said, I'm not gonna tell you anything. I just feel like God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit and told me who you're gonna marry. I said, all right. So now you got two choices. One, you can like just wait. Or two, right, you can just live your life and hope that she was right or wrong and hope that it wasn't that one chick because she's crazy, right? And I can honestly attest that my mom, before I ever even started dating Jamie, knew that I was going to marry Jamie. Is that true, Mom? She couldn't have come up with that on her own. One, because Jamie was still dating another guy at the time. Two, because she was way out of my league, right? She was way out of my league. And the only way, I swear that God, all right, one or two things happened, and I got to move on. I don't have time for this, but one or two things. One, God blinded Jamie's eyes until after we got married. It is possible he did it with Paul. He blinded his eyes. The scales came off later. I wonder if that happened with Jamie. Anyway, the other... way is that I was, maybe I wasn't the most attractive guy physically, and maybe I didn't have a lot of money. If you want to marry a beautiful girl, one, you can make a lot of money. Two, which is the way I went, you can just be an awesome man. Yeah. A kind of man that just, like, they want to be with. I chose number two because number one wasn't working out right yet. So here's what I want to tell you if you're single right now. I want to tell you that level three is when you become the right person. Because here's what can happen if you're single. I'm going to pick on you for a minute. If you aren't the right person and God's trying to send you the right person, but you're not the right person, then you won't be the right person for them because you're not the right person. But if you're the right person and they're the right person, then it's going to be at the right time and you're going to find yourself with the right person, right? Maybe the reason that you are attracting so many of the wrong people is because you're the wrong person. That's wrong, but you know it's right. All right, I gotta hurry. We're running out of time. Okay, so if you were to go on Google and you were to Google the Holy Spirit, you can read lots and lots of attributes of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of things. I want to go over five of them really quickly because I feel like I want to just take a picture of these five and just kind of show you. Do we have those five up or no? Okay, let's go to that one. The five attributes of the Holy Spirit. One, the Holy Spirit teaches. Oh, I'm messing it up. The Holy Spirit teaches. Two is that the Holy Spirit comforts. These are things that that are going to be attributes that you're going to see in your life that the Holy Spirit is going to bring and do. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us, meaning he cleanses us, he cleans us. One of the ways he does that is he convicts us. So as we begin to walk in the Spirit, we begin to realize like there's things that are helping me and there's things that are hurting me from getting closer to God. That's conviction. Like these, it's not about the sin, it's about you getting closer to God. And this is the last one. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus every time. Every time. If you can understand Jesus, you will understand the Holy Spirit because he's always working, always moving. Let's go back to this verse right here because this is amazing. I will stand on this verse for the rest of my life that if you want to see what it looks like when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, if you want to see what revival looks like in a church, what an outpouring of the Spirit is going to look like in the church, okay? It's probably not going to look like a bunch of people laying out. It's probably not going to look like a bunch of craziness happening. It is probably going to look also like this right here. This is the fruit of the overflow of having the Spirit of God in us. But the Holy Spirit produces these kind of things. When you get God in you and you begin to walk in the Spirit, something happens and you begin to walk in these kind of things. That love is just coming out of your life. That joy is just naturally flowing. You don't know why, but you're just joyful. That peace is just in your world and you can't understand it, but you have peace even in the worst of storm. That you are patient, that you have kindness, that you have goodness, that you have faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Aren't these things what we all want? And instead of living our life focusing on sin, what if we were to focus on the Spirit? What if we were to focus on letting the Holy Spirit in? Maybe today you've been in church too long. Maybe today you've been around church so much that the church has hurt you. And religion has messed you up. Maybe you grew up in church and doing the religious thing, and then you turned 17 or 18 or 19, and you just kind of had to move on because you weren't really being satisfied. It wasn't really filling you. And maybe you're in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s, and you're trying to reconnect with God. Like maybe you just have a lot of baggage. Maybe there's just negative things that religion has brought to your life. Maybe you've been in the kind of church where it was just cold and judgmental and heartless and like it was all about the do's and don'ts and there was no intimacy. And there was no heart. And you found yourself trying to perform more than you were trying to walk with Jesus. And you found yourself being a stranger to the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe today the Spirit of God is saying to you, like, hey, I want him. I want to move in your heart. Like religious people will go through extreme measures to impress God. But we at Church on the Rock, we refuse to just be religious. Because we want to have a relationship. Yes. And we want to be a group of people that walk in this relationship with him. Because religion will make you, is this on the screen? Or did we cut this one? Religion will make you a stranger? Oh yeah, there it is. Religion will make you a stranger to God. In fact, Jesus says in Revelation that I never knew you. Like, you can do all these things, but if you don't have a relationship with him, I love this quote, relationship will make you a child of God. Let's look at this verse. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You have not received a spirit that is making you more religious, more judgmental, more hateful to the world around you. You have not received that spirit, but instead you have received God's Spirit, and he has adopted you as his own child. And now we call him Abba Father. This is good news. This is the start of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're saying, Derek, there was a time when I had this close relationship with God, and I felt him so close. But my life got crazy, my marriage got rough, things happened, and I found myself kind of getting distant. I found myself disconnecting more than I was connecting, and slowly the disconnect just led to a lifestyle. And I need you to know something, that he loves you right where you are. And Jesus cares for you right where you are. And if you sense something pulling you back to him, I want you to know that's the Holy Spirit. And he's calling you back. And he knows your issues. There's this beautiful verse in Revelation that says that Jesus is standing and he's knocking. And he's knocking. If you hear his knock and you hear his voice and open the door, that he will come in. And the Bible doesn't say if you open the door as you hear him knocking that he's going to come in and he's going to give you a pounding for making him wait. It doesn't say that. It said he's going to come in and he's going to be with you. It doesn't say that he's going to come in and he's going to make you stop doing all these things, and he's going to make you give up all your money, and he's going to make you do all these things. All it says is he wants to come in and he wants to be with you. And somewhere inside you have this fear that religion has taught you that Jesus wants to just take, take, take. Religion wants to just take, take, take. But I mean, like, I have a son who is 15 and a daughter who's 11, and I would never go home and just burn everything in their room. Even though I could just barge into their room and just take anything I wanted, because it's my house. And don't you think your heavenly Father could easily just not knock, that he could easily just barge into your life without permission, because he's all powerful? But he doesn't do that, does he? I think he doesn't do that because he wants something more than just to barge into your world. He wants to be with you. He wants a relationship with you. Maybe your life, you're just running, like, you feel like you're running on empty right now. Maybe you have, like, lived faith 2.0 too long, and you need to step into some 3.0 where the Holy Spirit is active and moving and living in you. And maybe right now you're living and you're saying, Derek, I have no joy. Like, I have no peace right now. Like, I have no love, and I feel like I am powerless. And you're feeling more disconnected from God. Here's the solution. Let the Spirit of God in. And listen, if you're saying, I don't know how to do it, I don't know what to do, good. That's great, because Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. It just takes a moment of surrender. God, I need you. When we don't know what, for example, when we don't know what God wants us to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit wants to help you right wherever you are, to walk with him, to live in him. Would you guys bow your heads with me? Father, I pray that today that people would receive the powerful, life-changing Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, open eyes, heal hearts, heal lives. Bring your life, Lord, where there was death. Lord, bring hope where there was no hope. Holy Spirit, bring your light, because wherever you show up, Lord, the light is. So bring your light where darkness is reigning. Lord, I pray that you would fill them with hope, fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they can be more like Jesus, that we can walk more like Jesus and more like him. Lord, and when we begin to do that, when we begin to connect to the Father, that we will naturally see some things coming out of our lives again, Lord. We will naturally see the fruit of love and joy and peace flowing again. Lord, for some in here that they used to hear your voice, Lord, I pray that they would begin to seek you again and hear your voice and hear you speaking. Or they would walk in an intimacy with you, knowing that you love them, that you care about them. Today, if you want to receive Jesus and step into a relationship with Jesus and not make it about the way how good you're living, but make it about the power of the cross and through the power of the Spirit of God drawing you to him, I would love for you to pray this prayer with me. Church, you know how we do it. I want you to everybody to pray it aloud together. If this is your first time, I want you to pray this from your heart. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Show me your truth. Forgive me of my sins. Lead me by your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys give it up for Jesus.